Okay, you guys ready to get started?
David, I just thought you did. That is how you move this. Come back. Hello? Habibi Art. Art, sit down. Don't move again. Sit down now. Find the place, sit down.
Okay. Everyone settled in? Everyone okay? Okay. So, like Satan has said, what we want to try to talk about tonight, and I kind of mentioned it before, is if we want to be active participants in the church, we talked about some different ways that we can do that, but the one area that I intentionally left out, because it's a big topic, is the area of ministry. Hopefully we'll try to cover that tonight. And one of the things that was ringing through my head was whoever was sitting, it was this guy right here, okay, was sitting over there and he asked that question about fitting into the church. And I started to think about that, and I started to think back to my own experience, and my own kind of experience in life where, you know, I know none of you guys know me and stuff, but when I was younger, I wasn't the most into church kind of a guy. You know, our church was very small at the time, and I wasn't really close to the people in the church or anything like that. And then there came a point in time in my life where I made a decision that, like I told you guys last night, is that I wanted to get closer to God. I didn't have any friends in the church. I didn't have anywhere that I could, of course I had friends outside, but I didn't have anywhere to really fit in the church. I wasn't like I was basically coming off the street. So I started thinking to myself, when he asked that question, like, how did I fit in? And the answer to me was
Morris, what can I tell David this summer? Sorry, David, I disturbed you. How would I disturb you?
The answer to me was like, it was very, very clear for me. Is that when I decided to get close to God, my father of confession got me involved in the ministry. And through the ministry, like, to be honest, through the ministry, I got everything that I have. My social circle was the people I was serving with. My fulfillment in life came from the ministry. My deepening spiritually came because I was in front of people and I had to figure out what in the world to say. So when I look at my kind of experience in the past, I am who I am in a lot of ways because at that point when I didn't fit in and didn't know what to do, I was pushed to go towards the ministry. So that's what we want to talk about tonight. Because the thing about ministry is it gives you a purpose for, like, everything. It gives you, like, a purpose for your existence, basically. And a life lived without, like, any kind of, like, going to church without any purpose or any meaning or any kind of, like, whatever, it makes you, like, depressed in life. And it makes you, it leads to being, like, aimless and depressed and all that kind of stuff. I think that every single one of us here knows the feeling of when God moves inside you, God touches you in some way, and because we're human beings, we automatically have the same reaction. I want to do something. Something. Someone, give me something to do. Give me something to do, and I'll do it because I just feel grateful towards God or thankful towards God. And we want something to do, can't figure out what to do, so we kind of go to sleep, and by the morning, the feeling's gone, and we go back to our droopy kind of a life. That's where the ministry comes in. The ministry is that outlet for us. It's very good that we come here and we listen. Listen is great. Listen is only half the story. Because if all you're doing is listening, a wise man once told me this. I read it in a book, but I don't remember which book it was. What's the difference between, you know, the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea? The Dead Sea is like a lake, right? It's not a sea. Yeah, okay. What's the difference between the Dead Sea and, like, a fresh river, a freshwater river? Okay, a river has fish and stuff like that. Does anything live inside the Dead Sea? No, because it's too salty. What's the difference between the Dead Sea and a river? Very good. A river has an input and an output. The Dead Sea has only input. Okay, water goes in, junk goes in, trash goes in, and it's just nasty, okay? Whereas a river is fresh and there's life because some goes in, some goes out. Same thing for each one of us. The worst thing that you can do is become a professional sermon listener person guy. Okay? We have heard every sermon in the history of the world, and you listen to every Bible study, and you do zero. You do nothing. Then you are the Dead Sea. You stink. Okay? Imagine if I take a room like this, and every day I put something in. Even if I'm putting in good things, putting in nice fruits, putting in nice foods. If there's never anything leaving, it's going to come a point in time where it stinks. So we need to find, like, it's good, we want input, but we need to have an output. Okay, we need to be always growing, but also giving. Okay, and the two have to be working side by side at all times. So with that, we want to get into ministry. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Very important verse. It says that you, me, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This to me is like the basis of a life of ministry. Because this says, before you existed, before you were created, God looked down at you and prepared stuff for you to do. Prepared a job for you to do. Prepared a ministry or a mission just for you. And if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Because your ministry is as unique as your thumbprint. Same way each one has a different thumbprint, God has a different vision for each one. So what happens if she doesn't do her ministry? It doesn't get done. Like there's like a void. The body of Christ is void with whatever she was supposed to be doing. Because it can't be replicated. No one can do what I do, and I can't do what you're supposed to do. Each one of us has a different role in the body of Christ. The word that I like right here is the word that I underlined, which is workmanship. What's workmanship? What does it mean, workmanship?
Skill.
Sing it. Craft, okay.
Skill.
Skill, okay. If I'm a builder guy, and I build stuff, and I bring it to my garage, and you say, show me your workmanship, what would I show you? Anything? The best stuff. The workmanship. If I say, this is the workmanship of my hands. I'm not talking about the little knickknacks in the corner over there. I'm not talking about the little paper towel holder that I made over there. I'm talking about the nice, the thing that I put a lot of time in. The thing with the engravings. And the thing that, like, this is like who, what makes me who I am. My workmanship. That's what God said about you. So God said, God looked down from heaven and said, you are my workmanship. I invested a lot in you. I gave you talents, abilities, skills. I gave you a passion about certain subjects. I gave you all this stuff. I invested so much in you. Oh my goodness. Sorry. Glory be to God forever. He's saying, I did a lot of stuff to invest in you. Now let me ask you this. If God invests a lot in something, then logic says there must be a purpose. Because God is not a foolish investor. If you are not willing to invest $1 unless you make sure you get $1.10 back, then why would God be any different? If God invested all that in you, is it wise to think that he did it just because he was bored? Because he, for free time, thought it'd be, you'd look cool with these kind of skills and stuff like that? If God invested in you, it's because God has a purpose and like a ministry or a mission for you to do. And your ministry is much more than to take up space. Okay? And some of us are living in a way that our greatest contribution on this earth is that we consume oxygen. And if that's the case, you're not fulfilling the workmanship that God has invested in you. Okay? So what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to do? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, do what with it? Minister it to one another. Not as each one has received a gift, let him use it to make a lot of money. Not as each one has received a gift, let him clap for himself and feel really good about himself and go back to sleep. If God has given you a gift, you take that gift and you give it right back and use it for his glory. If you want to know what God wants you to do, you look at the skills and abilities that he has given you, and whatever it is, you use it for his glory. One of my favorite people in the world, probably you guys don't know who this is. His name is Reggie White. Anyone know Reggie White? Some people? Football, close, okay. He's a football player, the right kind of football player. He passed away, okay. He was one of the greatest football players to ever play. He died like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, something like that. He was a Baptist minister who played football. And this guy was one of the scariest and strongest and most feared defenders in the history of the NFL. Okay, he was one of those defensive lineman guys who used to kill quarterbacks. And he wrote a book. He's a really good guy. He's a very good Christian. He wrote a book. and it was titled, I Hit Hard for the Glory of God. I'm not joking. I hit hard for the glory of God. Okay? Meaning I kill people for the glory of God. But I'm like, not in a serious way, it's true. Because God gave him the ability to be really, really good professional athlete. He didn't just use it to make money, to date women, and to have a big house. He used it, and he used the national platform that he had to glory. They let him let people see his good deeds and glorify his Father in heaven. Because he had this skill set, and he used it for the glory of God. For those of you who know, tomorrow is a very important day. Speaking of football, it is the
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Very good. I'm glad some of you know. And those of you who don't know anything about the Super Bowl, know this year is very unique. And that the two coaches of the Super Bowl are not only the first African-American coaches to ever coach the Super Bowl, but they're also two very strong Christians. And Tony Dungy, who was the coach of the Colts, who I'm cheering for and I picked to win, stood up there on national television last week in front of the whole world, 2 weeks ago in front of the whole world, and they asked him about his great win, great comeback win. He said, God allowed it to happen this way to show it was from him and not from us. That is using your skills for God's glory. God made him good at football. And if you're good at football, you do it, you do a great job, and then in the end, you give the glory to God. And millions of people heard him give that testimony to God. What I'm saying is, ministry does not mean wearing a black outfit, okay? And in fact, you can do a lot more in ministry than the people dressed in black can. Ministry is not something that, like, everyone is normal, and then there's the weird people who are consecrated to God, and I don't want to be like them. Ministry is something that each one is called to do. I can prove this to you by the very first verse in the Bible. What's the first verse in the Bible? Okay, close. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. This is one you have to memorize. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, what? In the beginning, what? In the beginning, what? In the beginning, God, not in the beginning, you. So if you want to know what life is all about, life is not about you, life is all about him. And until you realize that, you're never going to have this abundant life. That in the beginning, it starts with God. And if you look at the end of Revelation, it ends with God. Life is all about God. It's not about you. You're not here to make money or to live a comfortable life or to serve my needs, this and that. I'm here because God has put me here. God has the whole world. God put me here, and it's for a reason. And it's to give back to him, to make a contribution, not just to waste my life. So what we need to do is examine what God has given me, and then you can figure out what God wants you to do. This is easy. If I go to any person and I give them, and I say, I'm not going to tell you what I want you to do. You have to guess. And I give you a mop and a bucket. What do I want you to do? Do I want you to chop down a tree? If I did, I would be an idiot. Okay? God is not an idiot. So if God gives you a lawnmower, he wants you to mow a lawn. And if he gives you a mop, he wants you to mop the floor. And he gives you a vacuum, he wants you to sweep. If he gives you certain skills, he wants you to use those skills to glorify his name. Put another way, I was made for ministry, and so were you. Each one of us was created to give back, to make a contribution, not just take up space. Now, as soon as I say ministry, I talk about service, I can read your minds. Everyone here is thinking of one of two things. Because whenever we think about ministry in the church, we think of two options. Teach Sunday school or clean the toilets. Those are the only two options. Say, Abuna, I'm not good at Sunday school, I can't teach, therefore I have to clean the toilets. Let me tell you this. Ministry is much bigger than Sunday school and toilets. Because if ministry was contained in just that, me and Satan would be very, very bad ministers. Because I don't teach Sunday school, and I certainly never cleaned a toilet in my life. Ministry is much bigger. And there's hundreds, thousands of ministry opportunities. You come visit me on a typical, any day in the church back in D.C., or you visit any of the priests right here, okay? But I can only speak from my own experience. You follow me around today, and I promise you, we can come across 1,000 different needs that are left undone. 1,000 things in need of someone to do them. I can find you 1,000 things on any day. Just follow me around, and you'll see it all around you. 1,000 different things that need to be done.
Give them example.
Okay? When it comes to examples, I believe, let's fast forward a little bit here. First thing right there, just to again prove my point. 2 Thessalonians verse 3, chapter 3, verse 10. This is the sign that I asked Abunim Shoy if I could print it in big letters and print it right on top of the church. Okay? And I want to print it specifically over the communion table, which says, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. One of the best verses in the Bible. If you're not willing to work, then you don't deserve to eat. That's what St. Paul said to the people in Thessalonica. What you got to realize, what I put down here at the bottom, okay, is there's two kinds of services. There's significant service, and then there's prominent service. What's the difference? What's the difference between significance and prominence? Okay.
Very good.
Prominent is what we all think of. Prominent is what's seen. But significant is what's needed. You have many parts of your body that are prominent. My ears are prominent. My nose is prominent. My little pinky's prominent. But those are not the significant parts of my body. The significant ones are not prominent. The heart, the kidney, spleen, the intestines and stuff like that, the juices and the fluids in there, all that different kinds of stuff. Same thing in the body of Christ. The body of Christ has very prominent services. Sunday school teacher, preacher, these are the prominent ones. I can't do those things, so what am I supposed to do? There's many more significant ones in the church. Like, for example, you tell me this. This is an example that I give the servants back home. First of all, when I talk about ministry opportunities, anything you do for the glory of God can be ministry. Anything you do for the sake of the house of God can be ministry. Doing a website, it can be a ministry. Stacking chairs can be a ministry. Vacuuming can be a ministry. Shoveling snow can be a ministry. Visiting old people can be a ministry. Driving Abuna when he's going to give communion to someone, this can be a ministry. Anything can be a ministry. Let me ask you this. Let me tell you about two different ministries, and you tell me which one's more significant. Here I am, and I have the prominent ministry. Preach the word of God. And people should repent, and everyone says, oh, Abuna Anthony, this and that. I'm telling you, if there weren't certain people in our church, I know them by name, but you don't know them, that were doing their ministry, this is worthless. The pothole fixer guy. The guy who fixes the potholes in the parking lot is the most important person in the church. He does a significant ministry. You know why? If I invite my neighbor, who has a nice fancy schmancy car, okay, who just moved into the neighborhood, and he's this and that, somehow God touched him, he knew I was a priest, came next door, we chatted this and that, come to church next week, buddy. Got a message you need to hear. He said, okay. He's big in his car. Big in his car. The Mercedes and the scratches and the everyday washing it and waxing it and all kinds of nonsense to it. He comes to church. He hits a pothole. He dents his car. What do you think is going to happen next? Turn right around and go back home and curse the church on his way out. He will never see the inside of the church. He will never hear the word of God being preached. And if he does make it inside, the whole time he's going to think about his car. And he will not be able to hear the word of God being preached. That's a significant ministry that no one will ever see. You know the other ministry that I think is the most important one in the church? You'll laugh. The guy who fills up the toilet paper. That's an important ministry. Because if you have ever been in a situation... Okay? Enough said. Okay? In a situation where you were out of resources when you were in need of them, you remember the date, the time, and everything about that place, and you never want to go back. I'm telling you, if a lost guy comes into the church, goes in there to take care of business, comes out without no toilet paper, he is never stepping foot, he'll never get back to hearing the word of God. End of story. There's many other ministries. The people who clean the pews on Saturday nights so that on Sunday morning is clean. People who do the books, things like that. The people who work hard to, like, you know, we had these songs on the projector and stuff like that. The people who are typing all that stuff in. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of ministries. What I hope that you can do is see what you're good at, do it for the glory of God. I know people who are good at accounting. They come and say, Abuna Anthony, give me your taxes. You and Abuna Choi, we'll do the taxes. And you know what? If there's people in church who need tax help, let us know. We'll take care of it. Boom! There's a ministry. There's other people who's good with computers. We'll fix computers for people. Boom, that's a ministry. There's other people who can't do nothing. They say, you know what? I have free time. I can drive. Boom. You're the guy who picks up the newcomer from the airport and drives him here and there. Boom. There's someone who says, I'm off.